Hi, I'm Whitney Lee, founder of Socially PR and Digital Media, and for over a decade, I've been creating and executing marketing and PR plans for businesses all over the U.S. I'm obsessed with helping entrepreneurs bring their big ideas to life and, most importantly, boost their bottom line. The Socially Relevant Podcast is a resource to give you clarity, ideas, and inspiration that you can actually apply to marketing your business. So you won't find any overwhelming tech talk here. We're breaking down all the details in a way that's fun and easy to understand, giving you tangible ways to take action. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey everyone, welcome back. We've got another interview today. And oddly enough, this is a podcast to talk about podcasting. So I'm excited today to bring on an expert in this industry. Eric Jacobson is the founder and CEO of Lemon Pie and Hatch, which you're going to hear more about in a second. Welcome, Eric. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Whitney. Really excited.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got two businesses that kind of coexist. So tell me a little bit about Lemon Pie and also about Hatch.
Yeah. So basically what I decided to do was double down on my passion, which is podcasting. And so I became obsessed with podcasting like 10 years ago and just sort of figured out different ways to create businesses and ventures around it. And the two ways we've done it thus far is with Lemon Pie, which is a podcast PR agency where we help executives and CEOs, primarily at tech companies, but really the strategy is applicable to any business, get interviews on all the podcasts that already exist that their target customers or audience are already listening to. So getting them those 30 to 60 minute guest interview spots, just like we're doing right now on the shows that their possible customers are listening to. And we could talk about anything, you know, in there that might be interesting to explore that strategy. And then Hatch is a subscription service where for one flat monthly rate, we help teams who want to create their own podcast as a content engine for their business. And there's a whole host of reasons why they might want to do that. And it's becoming, you know, more and more popular for brands to have their own podcasts. And so Hatch is a company that helps them with the editing and the strategy related to creating their own show.
I love it. You know, I feel like podcasting is one of those, like, if you know, you know, like people who are into podcasting are really into podcasting. I don't even listen to music anymore. I just like listen to podcasts all day long, driving in the car, sitting here at my desk. Yeah. Like, if you're in on the podcasting world, like you have officially drank the Kool-Aid and like,
yes,
you're all in. So, and honestly, like, you know, I started this podcast, gosh, it's almost been a year now, or maybe 7 or 8 months since we started this podcast, but it's been such a, you know, it's just another form of content creation. And it's amazing to me, the people that come to me, people I don't know, I have no idea how they stumbled across the podcast, no clue. And they're like, whoa, I've been listening to your podcast, like reaching out to me.
There's so many benefits, I think, that people don't realize. Like the obvious one that everybody thinks about is, well, I hope, you know, I'm on a show or I create a show that's listened to by a million people and that gets, you know, gets massively popular and whatever. And like, that's sort of the initial appeal, but really like not many shows achieve that, but they still can be incredibly successful in ROI on so many different like ancillary benefits, you know, like provide, like writing a blog post for your website is really like a standalone thing. But the cool thing with a podcast, just one example, is a podcast can turn into other forms of content. Like it can turn into a blog post. It can turn into powering your social content. It can turn into clips for social media and all sorts of things like that. So a podcast can actually be like a central pillar piece of content to like power everything else you're doing, just as one non-obvious like ROI point. So if like, you know, a Twitter thread you created that was spawned from your podcast is actually the thing that a prospect saw and like built trust with on Twitter, actually it was your podcast that powered that. Mm-hmm. So just like one like little cool benefit there.
Yeah, I do that. So we take the podcast, we write a blog post out of it, then we share that on social. And then I also make a reel with like,
yep,
you know, three highlights or whatever that people learn from the podcast. So it's like,
yep,
you know, just another way to generate content and meeting people where they are. So And our world, gosh, I'm getting, you know, more and more in the PR world. You know, we used to pitch traditional media, and now like podcast pitching is totally like blowing up. It's honestly like one of the most popular forms of earned media right now. Mm-hmm. And for anybody out there listening that don't really use the terminology, earned media just means like free exposure, editorial coverage, like, you know, a mention in a magazine, all, you know, or things like that, that you don't pay for, that would be considered earned. So, I mean, gosh, the word podcast tour is such a thing now. So do you, I mean, I'm sure that's right up your alley. Tell me about podcast tours.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been doing and helping set up podcast tours for about 6 years now. And prior to that, it felt like we were trying to convince the market that it was something they should be doing. Like nobody really was paying attention to podcasts too much. And they're like, podcast tour, like, but now I've seen it flip like almost entirely, where like everybody's realizing that people are consuming content, like their buyers are consuming podcasts. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, how do you get in front of them on those podcasts? You can only do it three ways. You can create your own show that they end up listening to. You can advertise on them, 30 to 60 second ad spots, or you can get an interview, try and get an interview, which is 30, 60 minutes on that same show. And so the podcast tour is the proactive strategy of identifying all those shows that your prospects could be listening to, or the ideal audience you want to get in front of could be listening to, and then trying to get interviewed on them via different strategies and tactics, but mostly the way you can help teach their listeners learn something new that they can go and implement in their lives. So it's not necessarily like all about you and selling your thing. It's truly about trying to impact the listeners and provide value. And that's really the goal with the tour.
Yeah. And I think that you hit the nail on the head of like, it's not about you. And that's when you're pitching, I think that's where a lot of, in general, PR people, whether they're pitching for podcasts or for placement in other media, I think that's where they go wrong, is like, they immediately lead into the pitch with like, hi, I'm Whitney. And look at all the awards I've won and all the degrees I have and la, 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 la. And I feel like that's the worst angle, is like the immediate braggadocious, you know. It's like, I tell people, I'm like, you have to flip it and immediately make it about like how you're serving their people.
Yes. Yeah. That's what podcasters care about, especially if they're being pitched by a potential guest, is a couple things. One, do I have a high degree of confidence that this person will be able to provide value to my listeners? That's like non-obvious, contrarian, helpful expertise, experiences. And being able to prove that, but also, do they know my show? Are they approaching me in a way that is thoughtful and giving? And so, like, you know, we actually, like, our approach to pitching is honestly nothing, like, there's no secret formula. There is an approach that we take, but mostly it's just being willing to put in more time and effort than anybody else. Mm-hmm. To actually get to know the shows we're pitching and then prove that. And so like, it's very easy to pitch someone in the first sentence, say, hey, I loved your last episode.
Yeah.
Like that's a fake personalization type of thing. That's trying to personalize, but you're actually still trying to pitch with scale and you're not actually putting in too much effort. It's harder to actually listen to a few episodes and actually point out something very specific at minute 38 from four episodes ago that impacted you when you were doing your research and mentioning that in your pitch.
Yep.
And so that's one example. And then another way that we tried to do this is something we call like the 5-minute favor. So it's something that another bar that most people aren't willing to do, which is to actually like take some time and do a favor for the person you're pitching. Like you're trying to take when you're pitching, but how can you give first? And so how you can do that is find out something that might help the person you're pitching, whether that's like, do they have a book? Literally buy their book and leave a review on Amazon and attach the screenshot of the review you left. Do that. Obviously, they have a podcast, so you can very easily leave a review on Apple, which is what a lot of podcasters like, is really helpful to them to get social proof. And it is somewhat, you know, a black box, but it can help with rankings and things like that in the podcast charts. So it's like, what is something that honestly doesn't take much more than 5 minutes of your time? That's why we call it the 5 minute favor, but actually is something that 99.99% of other people who are pitching are not doing. And actually do like promoting the show on social media as like a shout out before you've even gotten a response to the person and attaching that as a link in your pitch, like just something thoughtful like that to try to separate yourself.
That's a great idea. And I think, you know, like reviews, people, when you mentioned the thing about reviews, that's huge. That's huge for me. A, because I love the feedback as a podcaster, but B, like it's huge for, you know, like what it does for my rankings within Apple Podcasts and Spotify, but really Apple Podcasts is like, they're super hung up on reviews. So gosh, those are all great ideas. I know you've like, what is it? You've scored like more than 2000 podcast interviews for people.
Yeah. Over the years, I think we're definitely above like 2000 interviews at this point. And in our, you know, yes rate, our pitch to yes rate is like very high compared to most like cold outreach. Most cold outreach is like, you know, 1-2%. You know, if you're lucky, and ours is 20-40% oftentimes. And so we don't have the approach of like one of the main reasons why this is really important to do it this way for podcasts is because there's not an infinite number of podcasts that will be relevant for you to get on. Mm-hmm. Whereas like if you're pitching for business for your business, you may have a total addressable market of like 10,000 companies that you could work with, for example. So if you're doing a spray and pray approach with cold email to those folks, it's not advisable in my opinion, but it's also not, you're not going to run out of companies like terribly soon.
Right.
But if you do that with 100 shows that are only the 100 shows in your market that are relevant for you, you're going to run out very quickly and you're going to not have optimized. Like you may get 5% yeses. And so you'll get 5 of the 100 to say yes, when you could have gotten 40 of the 100 had you been willing to take, you know, a few months to do the outreach rather than 1 week.
Yeah.
So, you know, it takes longer, but you'll actually get what you want at a higher degree if you do it this way.
Yeah. And there's so, I mean, we look at it as like the options in podcasting are endless, but if you really look into some of these podcasts, like they're either stagnant, like people quit, or they started it, they did like 10, 12 episodes, and then they never came back to it. Like most podcasts don't stay consistent and survive.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also not, there is a time factor involved in doing the interviews, but my personal opinion is like, you should try to be on every single podcast that your audience is listening to and not be so hung up on, is this as big as the Joe Rogan podcast and all these things? Yes, you can prioritize and whatnot, but again, we're not talking about thousands of podcasts. We're talking about hundreds at the most. Mm-hmm. Typically for most customers, what we see is like 100 to 200 relevant shows. So, you know, actually approaching every single one of them and trying to get on as many as possible, because the goal is, and what we find the habit of podcast listeners are, is that if they like a certain category of shows, they listen to multiple shows in that category. So if they're like a marketer, they typically are listening to more than one marketing podcast. So your goal should be to be heard by the same person on multiple shows in that category, or at least they see your name and your company name in 5 or 6 or 7 different show feeds that they're paying attention to reinforce, you know, wow, they're everywhere. I need to check them out. Like, you know, and just, you know, it's that adage that it takes, you know, X amount of touch points with a customer before they take action. And that's literally the same thing applies here.
Yeah. You just read my mind. You know, in the marketing world, they say like, you've got to have 6, then it was 7, but whatever, there's got to be multiple points of visibility before someone like remembers you and goes, okay, she must be or he must be legit, you know?
Exactly.
The nail on the head. Like, and I'd love to ask you this question. So when, I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but what you just said about like, you keep seeing the same person across all the ones that you're listening to, it's because, you know, some kind of agency did really well and they identified the same market, you know? But yeah. I think my beef on it is like, you know, somebody's going on a podcast tour because they have a new book coming out. Okay. Mm. So then they're featured on 8 of the podcasts I listen to. But what irks me about it is that they have the same conversation over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the person. I like, yeah. I like their content. And so I keep listening to the different episodes to hope to hear more about them, but I'm hearing the exact same words.
This is such a good, I love this topic, and not many like talk about it. So this is cool. So basically there's two things at play here: how good of a guest you can be and how good of a host you can be if you're the host of the show. And so let's take it from the host perspective. This is actually a way to grow your podcast. And what I mean by that is, especially if you're having notable names on who have been interviewed on many shows, exactly what you describe that you do for people you really like and want to listen to multiple interviews, I do the same thing. And you know when the host is doing an awesome job because they're not having the same conversation on other shows. And actually that makes you interested, at least me, interested in like checking out that show more and going in their archives and picking out some more. So like you can actually acquire listeners who are basically following around their favorite guests by doing a better job as a host and asking interesting, more insightful, more differentiated questions and basically pulling out different answers. It's not about asking different questions. It's really about getting different answers, and that those two things are kind of different. But then as on the guest side, it's also knowing the same thing, which is you don't want to give a copy and paste version of your interview every single time. You do want to mix up at least, you know, some percentage of how you describe things, coming up with new ways to say things, skipping over some parts so you can get to a new area you haven't explored yet. Like, it's also knowing how to drive a conversation to the most interesting parts that might be different from other things you've done too. So it's kind of both angles on it.
You just made me realize something so true about like, it seems more authentic because a lot of times when you go on a podcast tour, they'll give you a list. The person that's going to be interviewed will send you a list of like, here are some suggested topics I can talk about. And you can tell that some of these hosts are literally just going down the list and ping, ping, ping. And then they let the person respond with all their, you know, knowledge or thought or whatever. And their response is, that's good. When I hear that, I'm just like, and I'm not saying I'm a perfect host by any means. Like, but that either tells me that they're not listening to the person that's talking, or that they're literally just going down the list and asking the predetermined questions, you know, and just trying to get through the interview and like going through it. So you make such a freaking good, valid point about like hosts that just check the boxes instead of like actually having a conversation with somebody.
Yeah, because like, it's harder to stand out as a podcast just by getting big names now. Like, there used to be fewer shows 5 years ago. And so if you got a big name guest, you know, they maybe, you know, had done some other shows, but they hadn't done hundreds of others, you know, like the number of other places people could listen to this person give an interview was like far fewer than now. So you could actually differentiate just by being, you know, just by putting out an episode with the person, but now you actually have to be better. And so it's about driving the convo. So instead of asking a question about the same thing that the person's done, answered 100 times, it's like you as the host referencing their typical answer to the thing that they've already answered, and then asking a question on top of that, that they haven't been asked before. And then again, I do think it's on the guest too. to not just continue to give the same answer, even when a host isn't doing the best job at it. And it's actually like trying to help them like get to, you know, I think that the guest job is to try to give the best interview that show's ever had. And that's their responsibility too. It's not just sitting back and be like, hey, it's the host show, like whatever they do, it's fine. It's actually trying to help them and give like literally the best interview that show's ever had. Most helpful, most insightful, most actionable, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we try to prep our clients. Like if they're going to be on a TV interview, on a podcast, if they're speaking at a public event, like we try to help them craft what they're going to say, help them rehearse it, help them, you know, that whole thing. But I think you just had a really great idea. And here's your third business. Okay. You're going to coach hosts on how to be a good host. Yes. There probably is a market out there for that because, well, I don't know. Yep. Probably every host thinks they're a good host, but maybe there are people that are like, how do I become a better host so that there's better content on my show? So
yeah,
there's some people I'll refer to you.
For sure.
All the people that answer, that's good. I'm just going to like copy, screenshot these and send them over to you and be like, please. Here's your next client.
And the cool thing is like, you don't have to be a professional host. Really, like as a host, hopefully you're talking about your show is revolves around a topic you are passionate about and actually have expertise in. So being a good host is actually just being yourself, but also being strategic about giving the listener the value that you promised they would get. So it's just being yourself and then also ensuring you drive the episode to the value the listener was promised when they click play. And they were promised it by your description of the show and your description of the episode. Sometimes podcast episodes can be a little clickbaity and you're like, oh, this description sounds great. And then it's like an hour long and it's really not great.
Yeah. It's like three strategies to improve your business. And then the person the whole time is talking about like, you should hire a coach. And next, because they're a coach, you know,
exactly.
You should hire a coach. And then a coach can help you with this and a coach. And I'm like, this was so just a freaking clickbait, like sales pitch for your coaching business makes me so annoyed.
Exactly. But just being yourself, being genuine, like that's truly more than half of it. And not trying to force yourself to be in this like professional host. Cause like, most businesses creating shows, they're not actually trying to create money from their podcast directly. They're not creating a podcast business. They're using a podcast for their business. And people want to trust the people they do business with. So if you're being fake and not, I'm not saying that like in its truest sense, but if you're just trying to like be this host character and not yourself, it will be obvious. It's really easy to tell. And you're actually not helping your business when you do that.
Yeah. In general, like we preach this to our clients, our world now is so, we want reality. We're so over like glossed over. Like edited images. I mean, look at us. We watch reality TV. That's not even real, but they're tricking us to think it's real. You know, like we are obsessed with reality, even with you know, websites like Yelp, like you don't want to see the edited photos of the hamburger. You want to scroll through and find like the actual photo of what a hamburger looks like at that restaurant. Like we're just so as a society, like done with this fake BS that like people spotted a mile away.
Totally. It's like the ads on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. The ones that actually perform the best is when somebody just has a selfie video and they're just like talking into the camera, like in their car.
Yep.
Versus this like $100,000 highly produced, you know, perfectly designed ad, which just screams, you're trying to sell me something.
Yep. We've had to even coach clients on that of like, we don't have to spend thousands of dollars on a professional photo shoot anymore. Like let our content creation team come out with our iPhones and just snap some stuff. And like, that will go further. It really does.
And that's what podcasting is. That's why it's cool. It's like people, you get to be in people's ears for an hour versus scrolling Facebook feed and they see a post for 30, you know, for 3 seconds or whatever. And so being yourself is the most important thing because people think that how you are successful with the podcast is either by education or educating or entertaining the listener. But a common use case of why people listen to podcasts is because of friendship. They actually end up feeling like they're friends with the host. Like, they just like them and they're willing to like listen to an episode just because like they just want to, they feel like they're hanging out like with the host. And so if you're yourself, you give yourself like that, you give yourself that advantage.
So true. Like, you know, and like I said, I was at a conference 2 weeks ago and somebody came up to me, actually multiple people, but one person that I didn't really know that well came up to me and literally was like besties with me, like immediately.
Exactly. Yes. That's exactly what you want. And you're doing a great, you know, you're doing a great job when that happens.
Well, thank you. So for anybody else that I know, you mentioned a few things like the 5 minute favor and really customizing your pitch, like actually listening in and referencing that in the email. We do the same thing when we're pitching for anything, not just podcasts. Did you have any other strategies if somebody's trying to get on interviews?
Yeah. So I recommend, there's a few other things. One is I recommend presenting a couple ideas of topics you can teach and not throwing the kitchen sink at it, but actually like providing ones that are relevant based on your research of that show. So you likely can teach a lot of things, but you want to like personalize those too. And typically what performs really well with this is contrarian points of view and not ones that are necessarily like going to get you in trouble by talking about, you know, or you don't really want to take it too far, but it's like, hey, our entire industry thinks this, and I actually think the opposite.
Yeah.
And here's why. And I can talk about it and not forcing that either, because that can come across too, but like actually being able to stand by an opinion that is counter to what the norm is in the space.
Like a hot take episode.
Yeah, exactly.
I have some of those I need to do.
Like, yeah,
this and might piss everyone off. However, I don't agree with this.
Exactly. And like, those aren't always easy to come up with, and it takes time. And you actually have to be able to back it up when you talk about it. But those are appealing, those are compelling, because they're different. You know, people don't want to have on somebody who just regurgitates the same old that everybody else talks about in the space. And so, and then on top of that, another one is just your unique experiences or expertise, like based on all the work you've done or the insights you've gained from it, like true domain expertise on, we call these like head nod moments. Like, these are the X's and O's of what you're teaching, like literally kind of describing right now ideas on how to pitch. What the goal is like, if somebody's walking their dog, they have, and they're listening, they have to stop so that they can write notes about what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's the goal of your talking points related to your expertise. So it's not trying to talk about how cool you are and all the things you've done. It's literally teaching everything you know so that they can do it themselves.
Yep.
Themselves. And they literally, your goal is like envision in your head, they have to stop and like, that first they're compelled to stop, and then second they actually do so that they can write down the playbook that you're describing.
Yeah, it's like your episode's not a teaser, your episode is the actual meat.
Yes,
give people the real deal, you know.
Yes, give it all away. That's one of the ways you can actually end up being one of the best interviews on that show too. Is by giving it all away, like feeling a little bit vulnerable in how much you're giving away. Like, oh man, like, is this actually too much to where like nobody's going to want to hire us type of thing?
Yeah. I'm having a moment like that. I'm speaking at a conference tomorrow, actually. And I'm teaching them how to build a media list. And I'm like, dude, this is legitimately like giving them all the secrets. But yeah. You know what? If they take the time, I mean, it takes hours upon hours
yes, to do it. Exactly.
If they take the time to do it, more power to them. You got to learn from somewhere. You know what I mean? 100%. Like I had to learn it from somewhere. So if I'm the one who opens their eyes to it and they yes. actually like sit down and take the time. But that's the key is like 95% of the time people won't once they realize exactly. like, oh my God, the amount of work that, okay, Whitney, I'll just hire you. Whatever. Like,
exactly.
It's not exactly. rocket science. They can do it themselves. It's just going to take a whole lot of time and a whole lot of trial and error to learn, you know?
Exactly. So so if you were to withhold that information, the 95% of people in the audience that wouldn't DIY it, that would be interested in working with you will not know your true level of expertise, but you are withholding it for the 5% of the audience that will DIY it that actually likely didn't have the budget to work with you anyway.
Exactly. You're literally pulling a piece out of one of my past episodes about how this is how I seal the deal with clients. I give them free ideas.
Yes.
And you know what? If they take it and they do it themselves, more power to them. But 95% of the time they don't. 95% yes. of the time they're like, dang, she's smart. Like this is why she has her own business. You know, like it almost solidifies you as an expert.
Yeah. 100%. And that's how I felt about our pitches. Like we've had like 300 podcasters say, you know, our pitch was the best one they've ever received. And I talk about how we do it openly. We've had people like do a YouTube video going over our exact pitch, like different things like that. And I'm not concerned about it at all.
Yeah.
For the exact same reason. So, and then the last thing I would say is like a stair-step approach. So depending on where you're starting with this, my recommendation is to not pitch the biggest shows in your category as the first shows that you pitch. A lot of people, you know, number one, they're busy. And number two, like, they're confident in what they're doing, which is good. And so they kind of want to swing for the fences right away. Mm-hmm. I more so recommend like working your way up, which is like a fairly common PR strategy. But like the reason to do it is one, you can get better at giving the interviews in a more contained environment where like the risk of not performing your best is way lower than on the best show in your category if you don't perform well there. And then the second thing is podcasters know the other shows in the space. And so if you can provide social proof that you've been on a show that they know, even if it's a smaller one, but they're paying attention to other shows in the category. And so if you can say like, hey, as an example, like here's an interview I did on this show. And if they know that show, they've heard of it, they listen to it, it provides credibility to be able to work your way up and just keep doing that with your social proof episodes as you work your way up to bigger and bigger shows.
Totally. You got to start somewhere. I call it street cred. You call it social, you know, I call it street cred.
Yeah, I love it.
Awesome. Well, Eric, it has been so awesome having you on the show today. If people want to connect with you, Lemon Pie, Hatch, give them all the details about how to find you.
Thank you again for having me, Whitney. This was a lot of fun. So yeah, for Lemon Pie, if you want to be a guest on your audience's favorite podcast, we're at lemonpie.fm. Feel free to check us out and hit us up. And then if your company's looking to create your own podcast that becomes your audience's and customers' favorite podcast, go to hatch.fm and you can read more about us there.
Very cool. Well, Eric, thank you. Thank you so much. I hope this has been valuable for everybody listening. I mean, it's been valuable for me and I work in this industry. So it's the whole purpose of these interviews is like you learn something new every day.
Thank you, Whitney.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. If you thought the info was beneficial, it would mean so much if you take a quick second to write us a review and share it on social media. If you have a question about a topic or a specific industry you want to learn more about, reach out to us on Socialese, Instagram, or LinkedIn. And you can also find me personally, The Whitney Lee, on Instagram. We are excited to connect with you and help you make your business more socially relevant.